Would you pray with me? Father, I want to thank you right now for your faithfulness to your word. I thank you. You said your word would go forth, not return to you void, but accomplish that which you please and prosper where into the thing that you have sent it. So I thank you right now for your word. I thank you for your word accomplishing everything that you've intended for it to accomplish today in the lives of those that will hear it and those that will hear the recording of it. I honor you for it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Glory to God. 2020, the year of seeing, the year of seeing and believing, the year of seeing and believing. On last week, I talked about God being a generational God and how that he looks down through the generations and he continues over and over and over to share his plan for his people. Going back to Abraham, how he shared with Abraham, he said, I will make you the father of many nations, and those that will come from you will be blessed, and all will be blessed. But in the next generation, he comes to Isaac, and he says the same thing to him. He says to Isaac, he says, I need you to stay with me because I'm going to fulfill for you what I told your father I would do. Then after Isaac came Jacob, and he says the same thing to Jacob. And I believe that there's a pattern for us to see and a pattern for all of us to tap into. And that is from generation to generation, God has purposed for his word to be fulfilled. And the question we have to ask ourselves is, what part does God want to fulfill in my life that he spoke to past generations? What does he want to speak in me, through me, that has to do with future generations so that his word continues to accomplish what he has purposed for it to do? He's a generational God. He watches over his word to perform it. Say that. He watches over his word to perform it. Come on, say that. He watches over his word to perform it. Meaning that when you were born, God put a word on the inside of you. He's watching over that word to perform it. And everything going on around you, God will use it in order to bring about the fulfillment of that word. We are a people of purpose and destiny. You have purpose. You have purpose. You have purpose. And believe it or not, you really do have a destiny. As I've been thinking about this phrase, let me show you something, it keeps resonating for me, and I want to spend just a little bit of time talking a little bit more about it, this being the year of seeing and believing, but I want to add a couple more thoughts or phrases. We serve a God of show and tell. Say show and tell. We serve a God of show and tell. God will demonstrate his power. He wants to demonstrate his power and then explain what just happened. He wants to demonstrate his power and then share his goodness. He wants us to be able to be vessels of his power and then be able to speak concerning the goodness of God, the kingdom of God. That's why in Luke 10:1-9. I want you to follow along with me. Luke 10:1-9, it says, after the Lord appointed 70 others, meaning he had sent out the 12, he sent them in pairs ahead of him to every city and place where he himself was going to come. And he was saying to them, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send the laborers into the harvest. Go. Behold, I send you as lambs in the midst of wolves. Carry no money belt, no bag, no shoes, and greet no one on the way. Whatever house you enter, first say, peace be to this house. If a man of peace is there, your peace will rest on him. But if not, it will return to you. Stay in the house eating and drinking what they give you, for the laborer is worthy of his wages. Do not keep moving from house to house. And then this is the point that I want to get to here. It says, whatever city you enter and they receive you, eat what they set before you and heal those in it who are sick and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near you. He's a God of show and tell. He says, heal them, then tell them it's me. Heal them, then tell them that my kingdom has arrived. It's one of the things, it's one of the patterns that should be in all of our lives as we walk out our lives. As a fellowship being here, we want to demonstrate the power of God and then talk to them about the kingdom of God. Tradition is you talk a lot and don't really do a lot in a lot of places. But the more you can demonstrate, matter of fact, in James it says, you tell me, you talk about your faith. He says, but I will show you my faith. You talk about your faith, but I will show you my faith. One of the challenges that I sense right now for many in the body of Christ, and even many here, is that we need a renewed hope, a renewed faith, and a renewed trust. A renewed hope, a renewed faith, a renewed trust. I was thinking about as Dr. Vanessa was sharing, and how she shared about the house and all that God did, and then she shared about the car, and George kind of got up and said, "Did you just hear what she said? Did you just hear what she said? I mean, is anybody excited about that testimony?" Okay, you're going to act excited now. Is anybody excited about that testimony? The word, it says they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of the testimony. See, the challenge we are facing right now is we need renewed hope, we need renewed faith, and we need renewed trust. If you're going to be able to see some things, you need some renewed hope. You need some renewed faith, and you're going to need some renewed trust. I kind of got the same response back last year when I was in Atlanta, and many of you know we had the situation with the boilers, and then an anonymous donor gave the $60,000. And I was in Atlanta with a group of individuals that I relate to with my pastor, and I'm sharing this testimony. And I'm sharing how God blessed all in one instance with the $60,000. And they clapped about the way you just clapped when she shared her testimony. And Bishop Garlington got up and said, wait a minute. Okay, so you're going to act like you hear those kind of testimonies all the time. And what he was saying is, and here's a point that I want to make, and I want to show you some things here in the Word that I think will speak to us as well. If we're not careful, we can land in a place where we're dull of hearing, where we hear something, but we're so far removed from it that it really doesn't connect for us. And you got to ask yourself, how did I get here? I mean, she's living in this space of illogical instructions for miraculous results. We teach that here, illogical instructions for miraculous results. Maybe you're not experiencing some of the things that you've been believing for because you haven't really been obedient to the illogical instructions for miraculous results. Why do you keep fixing up a house when they're already telling you you got to be out here at such and such a time? Why do you go to a car dealership and drive a car and you know you ain't got the money, at least you know, there's the indication that you don't have the money, but you're not really weighing in on the God factor of it. The God factor of it. We would not be in this building without the God factor. We would not be in this building without the God factor. We would not be accomplishing the things that we're accomplishing without the God factor. And I believe that this morning, he wants you to be able to leave here with renewed hope, renewed faith, and renewed trust. Because no matter where you're at, no matter where your life is, guys, and what you're dealing with, he wants you to have renewed hope. He wants you to have renewed faith. He wants you to have renewed trust in him, that he has a plan for you. He has a plan for me. He has a plan for us. Can somebody just act like they're a little excited that he's got a plan for you? Thank you, Janice. Yeah. He's got a plan for us. He says, heal the sick, minister to them, and then tell them that the kingdom is near. God is a God of show and tell. When he called Moses, now I'm going back now to Exodus chapter 4. Exodus chapter 4, verse 1, it says this. It says, then Moses said, what if they will not believe me or listen to what I say? Now, what's he talking about? Everybody knows the story of Moses. Moses was born at a time when Pharaoh was killing the children. He was put in a basket. He ended up at Pharaoh's house. He was raised as a leader. Isn't it amazing how God can put you in an environment that has to do with the future he has for you, even though it was very unlikely that you would ever be in that environment. But he raises you in that environment. Moses is raised as a leader. If you know the story of Moses, then Moses grows up. He finds out who he is. As a result of finding out who he is, he looks at the injustice on his people, takes matters into his own hands. He kills one of the guards. Then he runs for his life. Moses was a murderer. Okay? Moses killed somebody. But that didn't stop God's plan for his life. Thank God for redemption. Thank God for redemption. But what it did mean is that there's going to be a season that he was going to have to be off getting himself together. And it's not unlike God to move you and I into spaces when you're in obscurity, when nobody knows anything about you any longer. He's got to get you away for a while in order to get you ready for the assignment. And so it says in Exodus 3 that Moses now sees this bush burning. He sees a bush burning, but it's not consumed. And he says, I will now turn aside to go see what this is. The word of God says that God saw him, and when he saw that he turned aside, that's when he called him. There's something about you and I getting intentional about pursuing God. And not just doing this thing out of a casual place. I was talking to the worship team before we came out and we took time to pray together. I said, God has blessed us. He's blessed our house so we can just do this casually. But there's got to be an intentionality, and I'm going to talk a little bit about that in just a moment too. Because it's out of the intentionality that you and I are able to move into the greater things of God and able to experience the more that he has for us. But what God says to him after he speaks to him, Moses, and says, I've called you and I'm going to send you to set my people free, Exodus 4 verse 1, then it says this, but he's saying, but what if they don't believe me? And what he says to him, the Lord appeared, he says, what if they don't believe that you called me? And the Lord said to him, what is that in your hand? He said, a staff. What is that in your hand? He said, a staff. It's his tool of occupation. Okay. It's his tool of occupation. It's the staff. He's a shepherd herding sheep, livestock. And he has a staff. And one of the things that I make note of is God has a way of taking your present occupation and using that to fulfill purpose and destiny in your life. God has a way. Sometimes, you see, and we did this to ourselves. We did it to the church. We did it to the body of Christ. You know, ministry isn't what your job is. Ministry is you come off your job and then you do ministry. No, ministry is your job. It is your kingdom assignment. Say kingdom assignment. As a matter of fact, I try not to use the word ministry, but rather use the word kingdom assignment. Everybody has a kingdom assignment. You have 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 a kingdom assignment. You all use. We all have a kingdom assignment. And the goal is, in God, is to find out what that assignment is. But he says to him, he says, I want you to take that staff and I want you to throw it down. Throws it down, turns into a serpent. Now pick it up by the tail, it turns back into a staff. He says, you just show him that. Show and tell. Just show him that and tell him. God said, let my people go. Then he says, put your hand inside. He puts his hand inside, pulls out, it's leprous. He says, put it back in. He says, show him that and tell him. He's a God of show and tell. He's a God of show and tell. He's a God in show and tell. Sometimes show and tell doesn't really work, though, when you're dealing with people who need renewed hope and renewed faith and renewed trust. It's going to take a lot more to get there. So he tells them that, and then he says, and if those two things don't work, then I want you to go get some water from the Nile, and it'll become blood when you pour it on the ground. Now, what God knows is this. While he's telling Moses those things, they're not going to quite work the way Moses would like them to work. Because in it is a bigger picture. Say a bigger picture. There's a bigger picture. There's a broader plan to what God is doing. And so in Exodus 5, Moses now, in obedience to God, begins to do what God told him. It says this, afterward Moses and Aaron came and said to Pharaoh, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, let my people go that they may celebrate a feast to me in the wilderness. But Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice and let Israel go? I do not know the Lord. And besides, I will not let them go. And then what Pharaoh does is, he says, and by the way, since you came here, I'm going to make it harder on everybody else. He says, now they're going to have to make bricks, and they're not going to have any straw. He tells his guys, don't give them any more straw. They're going to have to work now, and make bricks, but they're gonna have to gather their own straw. He says, and they still have to meet their quota. They still have to meet their quota. And then here's the key to why he does it. And this is key for us as believers. It says this: let the labor be heavier on the men and let them work at it. So, watch this, so they will pay no attention to false words. Here's my point. You must be aware of increased difficult times that are devised to distract you from your imminent, God-intended breakthrough and victory. Look at it on the screen. You must be aware of increased difficult times that are devised to distract you from the imminent breakthrough and victory. Meaning this, God knows his plan for you. God's already set it in motion. When God sent Moses, he wasn't making it up as he went along. He knew exactly what it was going to take. But what Pharaoh did was said, I want you to make it so hard on them that when they start hearing about the possibility of getting out of here, they won't believe it. It'll be a distraction. We need renewed hope, faith, and trust. We need renewed hope, faith, and trust. Pharaoh deals so harshly with them that as Moses begins to speak to them, they're despondent. As a matter of fact, it says this. Well, let me back up for a minute. Moses, following the orders of God now, thinks that God's going to just open the door, let them go, they're done. But remember I said to you in all of this, there's processes for all of us. See, this is still making Moses while the stage is being set for the people of God, the children of Israel, to come out of Egypt. What do you do when things don't happen the way you thought they would or in the time frame that you thought they would? When Moses went and shared with the people, this is what it says. Exodus 5, I'm reading in the latter part between 15 and 23, so if you're tracking with me back there, please find this. When they left Pharaoh's presence, they met Moses and Aaron as they were waiting for them. They said to them, may the Lord look upon you and judge you, for you have made us odious in Pharaoh's sight and in the sight of his servants to put a sword in their hand to kill us. Now the people are saying, Moses, because of what you have said, now, Pharaoh is mad with us. Then it says this. Then Moses returned to the Lord and said, O Lord, why have you brought harm to this people? Why did you ever send me? Ever since I came to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has done harm to this people. It says, and you have not delivered your people at all. See, it's not unlike being in a situation where you start out and then it's not happening. And what the enemy wants is to bring you to a place of doubt and regret. Every believer, hear me now, every believer will be challenged and tested by what they heard, saw, said, believed. Say it again. Every believer will be challenged and tested by what they heard, saw, said, or believed. And it's the scheme of the enemy to bring you to a place of doubt and regret that causes something to happen, something to hit your life that now you're doubting and now you're regretting. And it's all about getting you to stop right there. Never going any further with God, never going any further with what God has shown you. And now what God has purposed to do through you doesn't happen. And what weighs in the balance is not always just you. It's other people. We need renewed hope, faith, and trust. How do we navigate through it? As believers, your renewed hope, faith, and trust, one, can be found in the company of other believers who are walking it out as well. That's why we took the moment even today and had Dr. Vanessa share what she did. Has anybody ever been in a situation where you were like thinking you're about to lose your home? Anybody? Just be honest. Come on. I see a couple of hands. Yeah. Anybody been out of transportation and need a car? So you got a story to tell as well. You have a testimony as well. But what keeps us from being able to grab a hold of the expectation is we need a renewed hope. We need a renewed faith. We need a renewed trust. See, the scheme of the enemy, and we read that, the scheme of the enemy is that word came that God says, I want my people set free. Pharaoh says, we're not going to let them go. We're going to oppress them even more. Hear me now. The enemy, he may not know all of God's plan, but he can know that God loves you, God wants you, God cares for you, and he will do whatever he can to make sure you never, ever come into that place. And the way that he will do it is he will get you so down that when the good news comes, you're not even in a place to hear it. And if that happens to be you today, I want to encourage you and tell you, you can't stay there. You got to get up. You can't stay there. As a matter of fact, that's what God spoke to David in 1 Samuel 30 or 2 Samuel 30. Where he's there, he's in the cave of Adullam because David is running for his life. Saul is trying to kill him. He don't know who's on his side. And when he gets in that cave, it says that the men joined to him. But his challenge was this: the men that joined to him were in just as bad a shape as he was. It says they were in debt, distressed, and discontented. Now, how many of you know? If that's your church, you in trouble. In debt, in distress, discontented. And they were the ones that gathered themselves to David. But word came to David through the prophet that says, you can't stay in this cave. Get to the land of Judah. Judah meaning praise. And I want to encourage you with this thought, and that is, you may be in that place where things just have not been lining up and you're despondent. You want to believe, but it's hard for you to believe. Hope is gone. Renewed hope comes out of your worship. Renewed hope comes out of your praise. Renewed hope comes out of hearing someone else's story and believing that God can and will do the same thing for you. That was three of you. Thank you very much. I'm almost done. They came to Moses and they said, things are more difficult with what you've done, what you've said. And God in his loving response, now in Exodus 6, 1 through 9, I'm almost done. Then the Lord said to Moses, now you shall see what I will do to Pharaoh, for under compulsion he will let them go, and under compulsion he will drive them out of his land. God is saying, I'm going to move sovereignly. He will let them go. He's saying they're not going, but he will let them go. And then it says this: God spoke further to Moses and said to him, I am the Lord. And I appeared to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as God Almighty. But my name, Lord, I did not make known myself known to them. What is God saying? He's saying that with Abraham, with Isaac and Jacob, they knew me. They knew me as God Almighty. He says, but now I'm revealing myself. I'm revealing myself as Lord. And in that, what he is saying is this. He mainly appeared to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as God Almighty, the one who provides, sustains. In Genesis 17 and verse 1, 17:1, it says, I am God Almighty. But with Moses, he was not only revealing himself as sustainer and provider, but also as the promise keeper and the one who was personally related to his people. In the place of renewed hope, faith, and trust, God wants to reveal himself afresh. One of the things that keeps people going in just a cycle, is they just don't see anything different about God. But part of the reason, it's not God, it's us. Because what God was establishing here is this point. Further revelation of who he is only comes about as we walk further into the plans and purposes he has for us. Further revelation of who he is only comes about as we walk further into the plans and purposes he has for us. And the other point is this. Life challenges often cause us to seek him more intentionally, more passionately, which then gives opportunity for him to show us a dimension of who he is that we would otherwise not see or come to know. You see, if God had simply told Moses, go, drop the rod, show him your hand, and you're out of there, Moses would not know God in the way that he was about to know him. For you and I want to tell you, it's the same. Wherever you find yourself, God wants to reveal a greater measure of who he is. God sets his own stage for his own victory. And we must recognize it's rarely what we think it is. It doesn't look like what we think it's supposed to look like. And Moses' challenge was not only the people, but Moses' challenge was his willingness to stay with God, your willingness to stay with God, my willingness to stay with God, so that he's able to get the maximum glory out of our lives. What God was doing with Moses, what God was doing with the children of Israel, he was setting the stage for the most glorious victory that they would ever have and bring them out gloriously. Because you'll remember, he says this to Abraham. He says, they will be in bondage for 400 and some years. I will bring them out. And when they come out, they're going to come out wealthy. They're going to come out with stuff. But in order to get there, it's going to take some things happening. Over the next couple of weeks, I want to explore that. Because all this happening right now, all that we've read up to this point, is God setting the stage. Because he says this to Moses. He says, Pharaoh is about to see God through you. Now, it reads a little differently. It says this, see, I make you as God to Pharaoh. But really the translation is, he's saying, okay, Pharaoh's saying, I don't know God. I don't know who this God is. And God is saying, hold on, because he's about to see me through you. And that began the plagues that led through their exodus. He is a God of show and tell. He's also a God of mercy and compassion. Your ability to see now will only come out of renewed hope, renewed faith, and renewed trust. Because you see, the plan that Pharaoh had concerning the children of Israel, it worked. Pharaoh said, I want you to oppress them so much that when word comes to them, they won't even be in a place to hear it. And that's exactly what it says here. It's exactly the word that it says here. It says, Moses spoke thus to the sons of Israel, but they did not listen to Moses on account of their despondency and cruel bondage. So I want you to stand with me right now as we end out, because I want to pray over you. And what I'm praying is this. Where's Eric? Thank you, son. What I'm praying is this. In this season, Eric, joyful expectation. In this season of seeing and believing, for some of you, your greatest challenge is to move out of that place of despondency and move back into a place of renewed hope, renewed faith, and renewed trust. Moses struggled because he thought that God was going to do it. God was going to do it quickly. God was going to do it a certain way. That's not unlike you and I. We think God's going to do it. God's going to do it quickly. God's going to do it a certain way. But what happens when it doesn't go that way? What do you do with that? You can land in a space where now you start feeling bad and you start doubting God, or you can renew your hope. You can renew your faith and you can renew your trust, and you can keep believing that what God has said he's going to do, he will bring it to pass. He is a faithful God. He is a faithful God. He is our faithful God. And I want to encourage you as we leave out, because he wants to keep showing you things. But if you keep focusing on what didn't happen, if you keep focusing on how challenging things are right now, if you keep focusing on, well, I prayed, I believe, it didn't come to pass, I've been waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. They waited over 400 years for the fulfillment of a word. God is not in a hurry. And he wants to do something that's complete in you, through you, and for you. Say complete. When God is done, God is done. He's about finality. He's about bringing things to an end. And what I love about this passage of scripture, when I read it and I read the story, you see, for those who, we have the benefit of reading it after the fact, but those that are walking it out, they don't get the benefit of that. All they think is, God ain't coming through. Moses is lying. I ain't believing another word he says. If he tell me one more time, we getting out of here, I'm going to throw something at him. If I hear one more time that this is the year to be blessed, I'm going somewhere else where they talking something different. Come on, y'all, that's a reality. That's a reality. I want to hope. I want to believe. But I don't want to be disappointed again. I don't want to be discouraged again. I don't want to get my hopes up. See, that's what they were saying. They were saying, hey, Moses, look, look, look. All we know is every time you say something, Pharaoh throws it back on us and it gets harder on us. No, that's the way the enemy works. Know that that's the way life will come at you and keep coming at you. But you have to be the one to break through it. You have to be the one to muster up the strength. You've got to be the one to muster up the hope and the faith and the trust once again. I go back to that analogy of the boxer on that boxing ring. when he goes to that corner and his lip just got busted that last round, and he's sitting on that stool, and they're telling him, good round, good round. And looking around like, yeah, okay, well, you wasn't the one in there, you know, fix my lip. And then all of a sudden, you know, recognizing in a few seconds here, I got to make a decision. Do I get up off this stool again? And everybody's telling you the right things. You know, when you get back out there, you need to throw a little more to that jab. And I notice he does this and he does that. But only you can be the one. To get up off that stool, and when that bell rings, get back in the fight. When the gun goes off, get back in the race. The blessing we have of looking at the scriptures is we see how God meticulously, sovereignly set the stage for the ultimate victory. What I love about it is God says, now you're going to ask him to let you go, but I'm going to move on his heart so he won't let you go. Which tells me this, had God not done that, he'd have let him go a whole lot sooner. But God needed to set that thing up in such a way that once, that Pharaoh, see, Moses didn't have to say again, let my people go. Moses said, y'all get the heck out of here. Get out of here. And it's in that atmosphere that then Moses says, now y'all go and ask for their stuff. Just go in there. Yeah, you know that bracelet you've been admiring? Just ask for that bracelet. Ask for it. Why? But why? Because now favor has been released on their way out. And it says they plundered the Egyptians, meaning that after all they went through, after all that you've gone through, God has still purposed to bless you. They left out of there with resources. I can imagine they're saying, well, I guess Moses was right. I always knew he was right. You know, I just was kind of going along with y'all because, you know, but I had a feeling that this was going to work out. You know, sometimes you don't know whether it's going to work out. You just got to keep trusting God and maintain a joyful expectation. Good.